First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I am Karen Cataline, happily filling in for Alan today. And he is on assignment, but would like you to know that he wants Republicans out of the bedroom, Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. I would add, let's have our government out of all of our Bill of Rights and perhaps uphold them. But this show is going to be filled with ideas and even the expressions of, oh my God, free speech too? So let's start right away with our very first guest. Delighted to have with us creator of Ground Fusion AI, a platform that revolutionizes and targets political engagement with data on 211 million voters. Phillips is a trailblazer in political technology with over 40 years of experience. He's also the host of the top-tier technology podcast, Patriot Games, and the co-star and executive producer of the widely acclaimed docudrama, 2000 Mules. Greg Phillips joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Matt, thank you so much for having me. It just occurred to me, we need to cut back on that bio a little bit.
Well, I'm hoping you can stay for a second segment so that we could get that whole bio in at least the first time, okay?
All right.
Let's start with the average people. We think we know what AI is, but the term AI is not only being used for what seems to be phony political ads, phony crowd videos of millions and billions of people that really aren't there, but now companies like IBM and others are advertising AI for the layman person who doesn't understand that much technology, but is being dragged along into this whole technological megaverse that we don't really understand. Explain to us what AI is and what we need to be concerned about.
Yeah, it's really a good question. We've been in this space for really forever, not just in the healthcare industry, but in a lot of other industries. AI is a form of regression analysis. They used to call it back in the old days data mining, and to an extent still do. But really, there's a chasm of difference between that old school type data mining, which really sort of leans into really known and proven different types of modeling, and the newer stuff that you're starting to see now emerge. OpenAI and ChatGPT, and let's create a whole bunch of words that don't really go together, or let's create a video that isn't Greg, but it looks like me and talks like me, but saying things that I would never say. Those are kind of new and are really I think not just less tested but less accurate and whatever. Our use of the term really allows us to take those 211 million voting records from the United States, 300 to 500 data elements for every single person. We have every household geocoded. We have so that we can put it on a map. We have cell phone numbers, and email. We have really everything that one would need to really conduct a political campaign and or do election integrity work. But what it really allows us to do Like if you tried to open up a file on your desktop that had 211 million records in it, you wouldn't be able to open it. It would basically blow up your laptop or blow up your computer, and it would lock it down, and you'd be out of business. What we have the ability to do, because of the underpinnings of the analytics that we apply, is to provide analysis at scale. So if I wanted to come in and say, I want all of the people in the Dallas Metroplex that are over 65, that's easy, right? I mean, that's called targeting, and anybody can really do it. And we can pull all that information out, and we can pull it out in real time. Where our product really differentiates itself from that standard old school kind of targeting, where you are just looking at one or two or three data elements, we can take in 45, 50, 60, 70 data elements and not just define households in the Dallas Metroplex, but define households across the country and communicate with them in real time, whether it's via text or email or some other means of communication. And that's the difference. We can do it at scale. So I can tell you not just all the people over 65, but how many, I want people that didn't vote in the last cycle, that sometimes vote Republican, sometimes vote Democrat, that live on a fixed income, maybe ladies that are widowed. And it just goes on and on and on. And by breaking it down into those, what we call micro targets, we can send them messages that mean something to them, right? Like that person, might not care about, the Second Amendment stuff, or might not care about, abortion, or might not care about, issues that other Americans might care about. But what they really are worried about is they're living on a fixed income. Inflation's out of control. They have no idea how they're going to buy food. If God forbid, they end up in a nursing home, what are they going to do? These older people are scared to death, but being able to target those type of people with an appropriate message that says, hey, here's what our plan is going to be able to do. It's great to be able to do that at the presidential level, but we can, because of the way we do it, we can take it all the way down to a mayor's race or a school board race or a county commissioner's race and give that information to people that are sort of down ballot, if you will. Yeah. And it changes the game for a qualified person wanting to run. Say, well, I'd run, but I don't have the information I need. I don't have a consultant. I don't have anything. Right. This is all of that bundled into one easy to use package.
Right. That's a terrific explanation. And as I was listening to you talk, I was thinking of, how they say garbage in, garbage out. I think I talk to so many people who tell me, and they almost whisper it, because God forbid you should say it out loud, that you don't trust the integrity of our voting apparatus after what we've seen. And there have been a lot of retaliation against people for even daring, my God, to think about it. And you had something to do with making the docudrama 2000 Mules. So not only can we, should we, ought to talk about it. Here's the question that I have been asking for a while, and one that I'd like to use as much time as we can to focus on. Almost everybody in the country, and many people pushed for almost everybody in the country to have a computer. We don't all understand how they work, but we know how to use them, even if it is, not as sophisticated as a computer programmer, hardly. We still know how to use them. If you are making a 80,000 page document, maybe you're writing a book, the great American novel, and you want to change one word in that entire manuscript, there is a feature in everybody's Word program. With the click of one button, you can change every time that word appears and change it to a different word. And yet, people don't think it's possible to flip votes when voting machines are connected to the internet. Is that a realistic concern, and can you use any of your clear expertise to address it this time, because it could be the last time we ever get to address it.
Yeah, it's really a great question. I think it's a complex set of questions. The answer to the machine question is, yeah, there are lots of ways that we can deal with this, and lots of ways that we can make this, really work for Americans and keep free and fair elections.
Just honest elections. That's what we want. I'm just pointing out, forgive me. I interrupted you just in time for a break. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
I'm so glad, because to me, that's the question of the hour. A lot of people want to have their heart and their mind put at ease. Yes, people will come out and vote, but that's what we want, is an honest election. And we're going to talk to Greg Phillips for one more segment. So don't go away. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
It's been a long, hot summer for the American Red Cross. Blood donations are way down, due in part to record high heat, and now remnants of Hurricane Debby are causing further complications. Now the Red Cross is asking the community to help by donating blood for patients or funds to support disaster relief. Dr. Baya Lasky, Divisional Chief Medical Officer at the American Red Cross, says we're facing an emergency blood shortage nationwide.
The nation's blood supply dropped by 25% in July, and we're working around the clock to get life-saving blood to hospitals. We need donations of all blood types, especially type O blood, to support accident victims, cancer patients, and more. As we struggle to overcome this emergency shortage, we are also providing food, shelter, and comfort to those impacted by Hurricane Debby in the southeast and wildfires in the west. We encourage those who are able to give blood or essential funds to support those in need.
Make a blood or financial donation as soon as possible by visiting redcross.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS.
The decision to work in the healthcare field is often fueled by a passion and dedication to helping people. But that commitment often comes at a high personal cost for healthcare workers, with heavy workloads and staffing shortages that can lead to burnout. Fortunately, Dr. Travis Moore with Indeed says there are tools to help healthcare workers navigate these career-related stressors.
Indeed commissioned the Pulse of Healthcare survey to find what healthcare workers are looking for in their next career and what motivates them to stay in the field. While the survey found the vast majority of workers plan to stay in the industry, 1 in 3 healthcare workers are still experiencing burnout. They're looking for more work-life balance, better staffing levels, and more mental health support in their role. With these needs in mind, the new Indeed Careers in Care initiative offers healthcare workers tools and resources to improve job satisfaction, enhance career development, and find better work for their needs.
For more information, visit the Careers in Care Hub on Indeed.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. It is a pleasure to have with us creator of Ground Fusion AI, a platform that revolutionizes targeted political engagement with 211 million voters, and we are having a fascinating conversation with Greg Phillips. Hi, Greg. Thanks for staying for one more segment. See how I truncated that bio just a little?
Absolutely. Well, it works much, much better for me, and I'll be mindful in the future.
I think
the answer to your previous question is really, a lot of people are spending a lot of time really kind of laboring over things they can't do anything about. And that's these machines and what all is going on out there. Some of the machines are okay. Some of them are not. In the end, there's not much we can do about it. And we have what we have during this cycle. The biggest issue by far that we have to deal with in this cycle is, of that 211 million voting records, 25 million of those people are ineligible to vote based on where they live. And so the voter rolls are dirty, and that is a much bigger problem than the machines and all the software that goes into the machines.
Well, but somebody's flipping it's so important what you say, that the voter rolls are dirty. Now the Democrats, it is said, want illegals to vote. But remember what Stalin said. It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. If somebody is flipping those votes with a computer, don't we need to find out who that is? Don't we need to find out how to address that issue instead of saying we can't do anything about it?
No, I'm saying we can't do anything about it now. There are plenty of people that are working on this issue and working on this matter. There's SCADA lawsuits out there and so on and so forth. But we're 78 days away from this election. 78. Right. Early voting starts in about 30 days in a number of states. And what we have right now are the rules that are going to be in place. The machines that we have are just machines that are going to be in place. My point is, let the technologists deal with these issues and try to find ways to stop the cheating. But if we don't get these voter rolls clean and we don't start figuring out ways to get better and more eyes on those machines and on those counts and on those voters as they walk in the door or go up to a drop box or whatever it is they're doing in whatever state they're in, that's where we fail. And that's what the average American can do something about.
So how do we do that?
Go to TrueTheVote.org, sign up for some of Catherine's programs, and it will make a massive difference. We've already cleaned more than 1 million voters off the rolls that don't belong there. And the way this works is you take somebody that doesn't live in, say, I used to live in Austin. I moved from Austin. If my name is not taken off those voter rolls in Travis County, all a bad guy has to do is go in and change the address from my old address to a new address, and then ask for a mail-in ballot, and boom, there you go. You've got an illegal vote. And those are the much bigger things to deal with, the illegal problem and the illegal voting problem. Attorney General Paxton in Texas, Attorney General all over the United States are working to try to deal with those issues. Everybody is. But for the average American, focusing on the signal, in this case, the signal is the election, and only legal votes count. And
so
that's why
what do you want?
Eyes on.
Yeah, forgive me. Let's get really, really concrete with our time. And I thank you so much for joining us. What do you want the average citizen? We think we have a lot of average listeners out there. What do you want them to do? There are a lot of people concerned about election integrity in this election cycle. What do you think is the best thing that they can do if they really have a passion to help?
This partner runs a nonprofit called True the Vote. It is the largest voters' rights organization in the United States of America. They have close to 1 million volunteers. They're putting people into programs all over the country, whether it's helping people figure out how to get in the polls and work in the polls, or just helping us clean the voter rolls. She has tons and tons and tons of great programs, one called IV3. You can go to IV3.us. She's got a new one that she's releasing this week called Vote Alert. Think of Instagram for voting. She has many, many, many programs that her team will help people get signed up to participate in. Sometimes it's not enough just to vote. This is one of those times. You have to pray, you have to work, and you have to vote. All three.
What's IB3.us?
IV3, independent vote verification and validation, IV3.us. Any listener, any one of your listeners can log in and they can help clean the voter rolls in Bexar County.
Wow, that's something. So technology can harm you or it can help you. You know,
that's exactly right. And the bad guys are using tech to burn us every day. What we've got to do is we've got to turn the tables on them. That's what our system has done. IV3 is built on the Ground Fusion database. We have another program called Ground. As I said, we have one called Vote Alert, and all of them are built on the same database of 211 million registered voters.
Huh. Wow. And what if people go to the main site, what's the main site that they go to?
Groundfusion.ai, if you want to look at kind of the underpinnings of it all. But if you want to go and let True the Vote help you figure out where to work, how to work, what to do, go to truetheyvote.org, sign up, and Catherine's great team will get in touch with you and help you figure out what to do next.
Huh. Wow. Okay. Well, we have only, I guess, another minute and a half. What else do you want to say? Because it's a huge topic. And hopefully we at least, got a little bit chipped away at the opening at the beginning. And we'll let everybody know truethevote.org, right?
Yes. .org. Here's, I think, the most important thing that your listeners need to know. I think President Trump is going to win. And if you're for him, great. I think the Republicans are going to take the United States Senate. I think that's good news. Some of your listeners may not, but here is the issue. If you care about freedom and you care about not going through what we're all going through right now, where it feels like the country's collapsing, if conservatives or Republicans don't take the House, we're going to end up with another four years of the Nancy Pelosi, mess that we've all been in. And it'll be
worse. Greg, I'm going to just say it flat out. It'll be much, much worse than it is now.
We have to win the White House. We have to win the Senate. But the one that is closest to being in jeopardy right now is the U.S. House of Representatives. Find a congressperson to work for, find a candidate to work for, and help them. We have 78 days before this election. We've got to get busy.
Okay. Greg Phillips, go to truethevote.org. So grateful for your time and for your expertise. Best of luck out there.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Take care. Well, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to tackle, oh my God, you're going to want to know what that is. Don't go away. I'll tell you when we get back. Explosive topic.
Life in 21st century America can be stressful. Work, inflation, politics, families, the kids' schedules. We're a nation always on the go. However, a just-released survey reveals that Americans may finally understand that lazy moments aren't always a negative. It can be good for the body and the spirit. Dr. Sue Varma is a psychiatrist and author of Practical Optimism, The Art, Science, and Practice of Exceptional Well-Being.
A new Harris Poll survey conducted on behalf of Lazy Boy found that nearly 9 in 10 Americans believe that there are benefits of taking time to be lazy, with stress reduction and improved mental health being the top perceived benefits. In fact, 9 out of 10 of us recognize that taking time for lazy moments can be a form of self-care. Now, through August 19th, Lazy Boy is empowering more people to create ideal spaces at home to optimize their lazy time with special promotional offers at participating locations.
Contact your nearest Lazy Boy retail location or visit lazyboy.com for more information.
The new FAFSA rollout is leaving many college students concerned they may not have enough money to return to school. Ruth Farmer, founder and CEO at Last Mile Education Fund, shares how they're bridging the funding gap.
Rising college costs can be a major barrier for students from lower-income families, especially after this year's challenging FAFSA rollout. In fact, 3 out of 5 college students report basic needs insecurity.
Most scholarships focus on getting students into college, but the Last Mile Education Fund wants to see students earn their degrees and enter the workforce.
This investment has huge payoffs. A college graduate with a technology degree earns an average of over $40,000 more per year than those with some college but no degree. In fact, we've estimated that investing in 23,000 such students completing their degrees will generate $2.15 billion in wages over the next 10 years. So if you're eligible, you should absolutely apply.
Find more at lastmile-ed.org/apply.
Buenos dias, world. I'm here at Panda Ridge at the San Diego Zoo. It's a super exciting time. We're welcoming all the people of the world to come visit us here at San Diego Zoo and experience giant pandas, an iconic species of the region of China. You get to experience 2 giant pandas. We have our 5-year-old male, Yun Chuan. Yun means cloud, and Chuan means river. So he's a big river of clouds. Lots of personality, super laid-back panda. And we have our female as well. Now, her name is Xing Bao, means precious treasure of prosperity and and abundant. And it's really an appropriate name, I think, because overall, pandas represent wildlife conservation, they represent friendship, and they represent love. And this is going to be an iconic species. Now, for viewers and listeners to know, when you come visit us at the San Diego Zoo, we're a nonprofit organization, and we're doing conservation work all over the world. I highly recommend all of your viewers to check out our website. It's sandiegozoo.org, and then you can find all that panda information from the various ways you can have a wonderful, vibrant panda experience.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. Alan is on assignment. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And one of the great joys of doing this program is to have guests and people that I haven't talked to in a very long time, but he is as memorable a guest as you're ever going to find. He's been warning about the number of communists in our American government now for at least 10 years, probably longer. And now his, I hate to call them prophecies, are more relevant than ever. Editor-in-chief of New Zealand, it says New Zeal, that's right. He was vice president of New Zealand's classical liberal and right libertarian political party ACT in New Zealand. He's an author, filmmaker, public speaker, whose latest book is the upcoming Stealth, Kamala Harris's Communist Roots. Trevor Loudon joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Trevor. Boy, it's been a long time. Good to hear from you. Good to talk to you.
It has, Karen, but always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. You had the courage to tell people things that they didn't want to hear. When did you start warning people about the communists in our country, in our government?
Well, from New Zealand about 2007, but from coming here about 2011, 2012.
And gee, that was around the time. Let's see, who was president then in 2012,
yeah.
13? Who was president?
The one who's still president, the same man who's still president right now, Barack Obama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now many people are calling Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris, and what I have read, and I just wish that Donald Trump and or J.D. Vance will make that the centerpiece. We got to go into a lot here because there's many aspects to this. Is she legitimately known as, many people don't know the term, red diaper baby? Is Kamala Harris a red diaper baby? And what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a phrase from the 50s. That means the child of communists. Your diapers were red. You know, you're brought up in the, from the cradle in the communist movement. And yes, absolutely, she was. She's see, a lot of people using this term flippantly, Kamala Harris, whatever, because her policies, you know, her price controls, they say that's communist. And it is. But what I'm talking about in my book is her whole life has been communist. Her mm-hmm. friends, her parents, her mentors, her allies are all communists. And so her mother, Shyamala Gopalan, she came from a radical Indian family and was a Marxist herself. Her father, Don Harris, was a Jamaican guy, a black guy from Jamaica. And he was a Marxist and openly, proudly Marxist professor at Stanford University. But they were both members of the Afro-American Association, which was the radical communist group that spawned the Black Panther movement. That's where she came from. They were Maoists. You know, they loved Mao Tse-tung and they loved Fidel Castro and, you know, the Vietnamese communists, etc. But, you know, even when Kamala was a little girl, she'd go to a social club every Thursday night with her mother, which was a Marxist social club. They had communists and speakers and concerts. So, and she's still involved in that today. So she is always, that's the only thing.
It's all about ideology, isn't it? All this, this, you know, identity politics really covers up the fact that it's all really ideology. What drives the radical left today is Marxist ideology, but there are a lot of Americans that, well, you know, one of the reasons they don't, Trevor, they don't want to talk about it or they don't want to label anybody is because Hollywood, the Hollywood left, many of whom were communists, spent so much time playing victim, this is very controversial to say, in the McCarthy era, claiming that they were the victims. Never mind that today they have McCarthyized all conservatives in Hollywood. But that is kind of like how they've inoculated themselves. Well, you call everybody a communist, and that's how we got McCarthyism, you evil, evil person. Is that part of the propaganda?
That's exactly right. Like if you don't like the homosexual, you know, the gay agenda being pushed on children, you're a homophobe. If you don't like the radical Islamization of the West, you're an Islamophobe. If you stand up to McCarthyism, well, if you don't like the communists of Black Lives Matter, which is a Maoist organization, you're a racist. So they, the term McCarthyism was coined by the People's World, the Communist Party newspaper, to denigrate one of their most effective enemies and make it toxic for anybody to even go there. And God bless President Trump for actually bringing the word back. You know, he broke through the barrier, you know. He will use the C word very effectively and very commonly. But, you know, the point here is this, that there has been there are two times when you don't hear about communism, when it doesn't exist and when it's so pervasive that they control a narrative.
Uh-huh.
When they control the media, they control what people learn. Communism in America today is way more powerful than it was during McCarthy's time. But until President Trump came along, you know, you didn't know it. You know, we had 8 years of a bona fide communist president in Barack Obama, and still 95% of Americans would not understand that that's what he is.
Well, and also a lot of stuff was being done.
Kamala would be way worse than Obama.
Well, a lot of stuff was to build the foundation that they're going to go for now, right?
Exactly. Like you'd say Bill Clinton was stage one cancer. Barack Obama was stage two cancer. You know, Joe Biden was stage three cancer. And Kamala Harris will be stage four terminal cancer. Yeah, you know, like Obama, gutted the U.S. military. You know, he purged a lot of the good generals and admirals. He started the open borders movement on the advice of communists. He started the mass indoctrination of school children. He started, he amped up the mass indoctrination of school children, and he weaponized the Justice Department and the FBI not to go after communists like they used to, but now to go after anti-communists. So Obama set the stage for the revolution we will undergo if Kamala Harris is president. You know, she will do everything that Obama's done on steroids. She will just absolutely open the borders. There'll be mass indoctrination of school kids. The judiciary will be set on the conservatives. Sound Christian churches will be shut down. You will see this. She will be as bad as Fidel Castro if she's elected.
Terrifying. Well, and a lot of forced things that will begin to persecute anyone who dares to say, you know, I don't buy that. I don't agree with that. I'm not going to participate. Go ahead.
You imagine. See, what we had in COVID was a taste. See, that was the Chinese working through the World Health Organization told the whole world that there was only one line on COVID. You had to do masks, vaccines, and lockdowns. You couldn't talk about vitamin D therapy or herd immunity. That was all gone. That was Chinese mass line enforcement on health. Kamala Harris is a Maoist. You'll get that on health, but you'll get it on economics, on education, on race relations. Uh-huh. She will give us that kind of thing on every front. She is a hardcore, unrepentant Maoist communist. And that is no hyperbole. I back it up completely in my book.
What's the name of your book, by the way?
Stealth. It's called Stealth, Kamala Harris's Communist Roots.
And when did it come out, that book?
Well, it's not out. It's coming out very soon. It's you can pre-order it now on my website, trevorlowden.com. It will be out on Amazon and all the normal venues. But a lot of people, I've already got tons of orders now for people. People want a signed copy, they can go to trevorlowden.com. But it will be out. We're choosing the date this week, and we've held back a little bit.
It's got to come back soon.
We've added a chapter on Tim Walz.
Yeah. Early voting is in 30 days. We're going to hold on to Trevor Lowden because, well, it's the right thing to do. So thank you for sticking with us. This isn't easy stuff, but we got to talk about it. Karen Cattaleen filling in for Alan Nathan here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
As our Olympic athletes return home from Paris, they now think about what comes next. Some of them, like 1996 gold medalist and member of the Magnificent Seven, Dominique Dawes, start small businesses. Dawes knows the benefits and challenges of starting a business and the help needed to thrive.
You always need a team to have your back and help you succeed. No matter who you are, it's important to ask for help as you start and grow your business. There are programs out there like Wells Fargo's Open for Business Fund, specifically designed to help small business owners. Through it, Wells Fargo donated $420 million to nonprofits to help small business owners with access to affordable capital and expertise in areas like accounting, marketing, budgeting, and so much more. And that's the kind of help that can be transformational for a business owner. Small business ownership is vital to local jobs. This program alone helped entrepreneurs keep over 461,000 jobs, so you can see the power of finding the right support.
For more information, visit stories.wf.com/OFB.
One of the best places to find trendy back-to-school pieces is Shein. I mean, they're just known for consistently delivering a wide variety of affordable and stylish options for everyone. It's no wonder it's one of the most downloaded fashion apps. One of my top picks is the Shein Teen Girl Letter Patch Detail Overall Jumpsuit. It's comfy, it's versatile. You can easily transition it from the summer to the fall. Or how about this beautiful floral dress paired with a t-shirt underneath? They also have kid sizes for all ages, so you're bound to find that perfect back-to-school outfit. Now, when it comes to college dorm room decor, you can also do it on a budget. Shein has an amazing selection of dorm decor essentials to help transform any space, from this beautiful throw blanket to this mini handmade knotted ball decor. You'll be able to find the perfect piece to really make your dorm room your own. For more information and to check out the entire back-to-school selection, you can search for BTS 2024 on the Shein app as well as Shein.com.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's HELPPVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And it is a pleasure to have Editor-in-Chief of New Zeal, Trevor Loudon. Thank you, Trevor, for staying with us for one more segment. A huge and very serious topic. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Here's a question for you. You alluded to it, that Barack Obama dedicated a lot of his time in office instituting the indoctrination of kids in school. Yeah. And every time, you know, when people my age, people over a certain age, we find it horrifying, shocking, and very frightening that there are communists in our government, because we know the history of communism. We know the genocide, the evil, the tyranny of communism. The young people today do not. I would venture to say that there's a certain percentage of young people who, when you say that Kamala Harris's parents were card-carrying communists, they would say, so? So what do we do about that?
Yeah, well, look, what has got to happen is Trump, President Trump has got to do what he's promised to do, is abolish the Department of Education, return all education to the states, then actually do what has been done in Florida, where Ron DeSantis has mandated classes on communism to Florida high school kids. People have to be taught real civics like they used to be, and a contrast, you know, what is different between the American Constitutional Republic and a democracy and socialism or fascism or communism? Because to most of these young kids, you know, communism is a Che Guevara t-shirt and all the freedom and liberty we have today plus free stuff. That's what they think communism is.
Exactly,
they have no understanding of the brutality. They know a little bit about the evils of Nazism, but they don't know the communists.
Yeah, but now they're disavowing that too.
Three or four times more people.
Yeah. Now they've been taught that Hamas is the victim in the Middle East, but I digress. Everything is upside down today.
That's exactly the thing, you know. Like a lot of young kids, I think Palestinians, which don't actually exist as a nation, are the victims and Israel is the oppressor. They don't even know that the Hamas, which works for both Russia and China, massacred 1,200 people in brutal circumstances. They don't know the history here. And so, you know, this is young people have been fired up by Black Lives Matter. They've been guilted out with their white privilege. All of this is Marxist programming. And so you've got all these poor little buggers, I would say, who are out there marching for a system that will kill them, that will basically kill their families, kill their country, destroy their economy, take away their freedom. And they think they're so cool walking down the street waving their banners and chanting slogans they don't even understand. But that's how communism works. Like, remember we had the big women's march in Washington after Trump got inaugurated?
Yes, I remember
A million women wearing silly pink hats. Now, there was a million women there that was completely organized by communists. But I would say 95% of that women in that march would have had no understanding of that.
Oh, but I remember something else. I remember something else about that march that many people don't. They took off their little silly pink hats and they were standing in line to wear kafias.
Yes, yes, yes. See, the you know, the
slavery.
The
They're standing in line to be enslaved. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Look, the only reason there's an attack on Israel right now is Israel is the main bulwark against Chinese and Chinese communism and their Russian and Iranian allies in the Middle East. Israel is the main enemy of communism. United States is the main enemy of communism worldwide.
Well, was.
So that's why the American people are the main enemy of communism. Unfortunately, the current government is not. But that is why there's such a big plan to bring down America and Israel. Because if you can take down Israel and you can take down America, China, Iran, Cuba, Nicaragua, North Korea, and Russia will rule the planet. That's it. That's over.
I wonder something, and you know, this is just something I've wondered for a long time from my vantage point, which is not very, you know, I don't have the historical knowledge you do. But, you know, the radical left used to like Russia, love Russia, when it was a lot more communist than it is today. Now, suddenly, the radical left hates Russia. Is it true?
No,
or is it It isn't Russia against some of this global communism, or is that just a front?
It's just a complete front. Look, most of the American communist parties today are still loyal to Russia. The other ones will say things like, we support Ukraine, but this is all really America's fault, and America should pull, NATO should dissolve and pull out of Europe. Russia is pulling the strings. Russia is still run by the same KGB as it always was. Russia has a full military alliance with China. Russia is still working with all the old communist countries, but it's got millions of Americans fooled into thinking it's this great Christian paradise that's standing up against George Soros and the radical Muslims. Never mind the fact that they've helped George Soros for years. Never mind the fact that they flooded Europe with Muslim refugees. Never mind the fact that they're backing Hamas and communist groups all around the world, including America.
Yeah.
But because Vladimir Putin will put on a crucifix and go to an Orthodox service, you got millions of Christians believing, wow, he's one of us. You know, the Russian Orthodox Church is completely controlled by the KGB. And in Russia, unless you belong to that state-controlled church, you cannot proselytize outside your church or bring your children up inside your church.
So we have very little...
That's why a lot...
Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, that's why a lot of the American evangelical churches who went to Russia in the 90s are now pulled out. They can't operate there. There's no religious freedom in Russia at all.
The radical left hates Russia and apparently blew up its pipeline.
No, they don't. No, this is a fallacy. Some elements of it pretend to hate Russia, but they don't. They're still working for the Russians.
Okay, God, we got to go. Find Trevor Loudon and his book, Stealth, Kamala Harris's Communist Roots. Very important stuff. Trevor Loudon, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.